Very good afternoon to you, Namibia, and a warm welcome to On The Radar right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, bringing you today's news analysis. Now, this isn't just about news bulletin. It's the heartbeat of the nation, where headlines meet depth. Now, we go beyond the bullet points, slowing down, zooming in, and asking why, how things are happening and who is making the decisions and how it affects you and I. Now, expect thoughtful, long-form conversations backed by archives, real voices and context coming through your way that endures well beyond the breaking news circle. Now, whether you're driving through Katutura, relaxing in Valves Bay, Oshakati, Ondangwa, Enana, Rundu, Kavango East, Kavango West, or tuning in from abroad, On The Radar brings you critical analysis from the Chambers of Parliament to Namibia's forgotten regions. And for our listeners with eyes beyond our borders, welcome as well. This is your window to the latest news and updates in Namibia and beyond. So stay informed with our comprehensive coverage, breaking stories, in-depth analysis, exclusive reports, and real-time updates on politics, business, technology, health, entertainment, and more. Stream us live via Eagle FM website. Follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And also plug into our WhatsApp channel for behind-the-scenes content and exclusive updates. Don't forget to download the Eagle FM app from the App Store or Play Store and subscribe so you can never miss a moment. Now, this is On The Radar, where those that like to analyze and understand the depth of news come to listen. Let's get through the noise and get right into it. Namibia's Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform, Inge Zamani Kamwe, has initiated a series of structured consultation meetings with key stakeholders across the fishery industry. Now, the engagement aimed to strengthen collaboration and ensure inclusive input in shaping the future direction of the sector. These consultations, held at the request of private sector actors, mark the first phase of an ongoing dialogue. Minister Zamwi Kamwe has underscored her commitment to fairness and inclusivity, promising follow-up sessions that bring in a broader representation from various segments of the fishing ecosystem. Now, before engaging external stakeholders, Minister Zamwi Kamwe conducted internal briefings with ministry staff, gaining a foundational understanding of current sector dynamics. Now, these early meetings equipped her to engage more effectively with industry participants, including private companies and artisan operators. Now, central to the ministry's approach is a new performance scorecard system that benchmarks progress across the fishing sector or fishing subsector, coupled with plans to review fishing quota allocations and associated benefits. The reforms aim to promote wider community access and ensure that empowerment programs deliver meaningful. Now, one of the first fruits of this consultative process has been the conclusion of a government-led fisheries employment readiness initiative. As of early June 2025, nearly 2,414 former fisheries sector workers, primarily in hake and horse mackerel operations, have been regenerated across seven companies under new designation agreements. Approximately 280 remaining employees are expected to return to work following final arrangements. Minister Zamwi Kamwe has also highlighted the ongoing moratorium on pilchard fishing, first imposed in 2018, as central to efforts to restore declining stocks. And although recent surveys estimate the biomass at about 850 tons, well below 1 million ton sustainability threshold, the ministry remains vigilant over rising pilchard bycatch and is considering tighter enforcement measures, revised bycatch limits, and improved surveillance to protect the species. Now, the minister assumed office, obviously, early this year, on 7 May 2025, following the dismissal of her predecessor. Now, her appointment comes with high expectations, given her extensive experience in mining, financial services, and government advisory roles. Now, these reforms align tightly, she says, with Namibia's National Development Plan NDP6 and Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan. Let's now take a listen to what the minister herself had to say at this consultative meetings.
We are in Walvis Bay this morning, Thursday, 24th of July, to visit the industry as part of my broader industry familiarization and consultation. Since I took over the office, I was here already twice. At the time, I focused mainly on familiarization with the ministry's operations here at the coast, as well as to deal with the issues of the government employment redress program, which we have successfully concluded. Now, this time, we are meeting some key industry players to hear from them. There are specific issues, and so we have scheduled them to meet them today. And tomorrow, we'll be visiting the facilities, the factories, the processing facilities for the whole day for some of the companies that are doing local processing here in Walvis Bay. The purpose of doing that is just to give us a view of how much value addition is taking place in these factories that are getting quotas with a view of adding value to our fishery resources, and to also assess the conditions within those factories, because often our employees are complaining that the working environment is not conducive, they are not provided with safety equipment, and therefore we just want to observe and see for ourselves what is happening. As you know, there's a historically and traditionally there has been industry consultation once a year between the ministry and the players within the industry. We intend to do those consultations on next month. So that will then be a broader industry consultation with all the various players from the Hague, from the horse mackerel, and from all the subsector within the industry. And that is an engagement where we sit around the table and we speak to each other about the challenges that affect our industry, as well as opportunities for scaling up, because in November then the new season will start. And obviously for us to consider the quotas that is going to be issued for the new season, we need to have already had the determination as to who are the players and how is their performance, how have been their performance, are they contributing to the objectives set as part of the conditions of their rights. And that is really basically why we're here.
And with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. But we're just getting started. Come through on 083-288-401 to engage us right here on the radar.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba. With the world congregate. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Ipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere urikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendike nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heavy nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu atatu o mafelane egeleso the eye.
Now key highlights to take away from the minister's consultation is one, engaging industry and government actors for inclusive policy design, as well as internal preparation, where the ministry officials were briefed first to inform external dialogue. Introduction of a scorecard system for drive sector transparency, quotas and benefits set for review to ensure equitable community access, as well as the reintegration of over 2,400 workers through former agreements, and the pilchard moratorium, which continued the ban with enhanced surveillance to protect recovery. Minister Zamwi Kamwi approaches signals a new era of proactive governance in Namibia's fishery sector, one where transparency, equitable access and sustainable resource management are not just stated ideals, but tangible commitments rooted in consultation and accountability. Now moving on, meanwhile in Rundu Kavango East, the revival of the Mashara Agricultural Development Institute, also known as MADI, as a full-fledged agricultural college is nearing completion. Now with the first student intake scheduled for January 2026, Kavango East Governor Julius Mbayuka revealed during the State of Region Address. Now once established in 1976 and later converted into an irrigation center, MADI is now being repositioned as a hub for agricultural education and practical training. According to the governor, this college will offer levels 2 and 3 agricultural certificate programs, serving learners from Kavango East and beyond, leveraging the region's rich agricultural potential. Mbayuka emphasized that bringing this vision to fruition requires substantial investment in rebuilding deteriorating infrastructure and filling staff vacancies and acquiring essential farming and educational equipment. Efforts are also underway to register the college with the Namibia Training Authority, also known as NTA, and to seek accreditation from the Namibia Qualifications Authority, NQA, as a technical, vocational, education and training center. Now, the institution is expected to train students in modern agriculture, food production, seed and livestock production, helping to support regional food security and value chain development. It will draw learners not just from Kavango East, but also from Kavango West and other parts of Namibia. Let's take a listen to what Kavango East Governor Julius Mbayuka had to say.
To meet human needs, it is one of the oldest and most important human activities in this region, and it provides the basis for food security, economic development, and sustainable livelihoods for our people. Agriculture includes a wide range of activities such as planting, watering, harvesting, and processing crops, as well as breeding, feeding, and caring for animals to produce meat, dairy, and other products. It is also involved managing soil and water resources using modern technology and scientific research to increase crop yield and efficiency, and addressing environmental and social challenges associated with agricultural production. In the area of food production, our emphasis on supporting farmers through training, technical assistance, and market access has been a cornerstone for sustainable agricultural growth and regional economic development. To boost food production substances, farmers were supported with subsidized farming inputs such as fertilizers, improved seeds, pesticides, and mechanized agricultural services such as tillage raping, planting, and weeding services. It is pertinent to state that under the dry land crop production program and zero value chain, 3,403 farmers benefited from subsidized seeds, 1,044 farmers with combined total hectares of 2,656 benefited from reaping and plowing services, while 93 farmers were subsidized for weeding and 18 farmers for machinery. The region is striving for the full operational session of the Green Scheme project to intensify food production and promote agro-processing initiatives at this project, which may result in sustainable agriculture, employment creation, and improved food security. This is evident in the performance of Vunguvungu Green Scheme, in which 147 hectares of maize was planted with an average yield of 8 tons, while a total of 97 hectares of wheat was planted with an average yield of 5.01 tons. It is also important to inform the residents that the Ndongarinena Green Scheme project has planted 88 hectares of maize and 22 hectares wheat, which yielded for 440 tons. This has increased to a total of 350 hectares and 110 hectares of maize and wheat planted, in which 2,600 tons is expected to be harvested. The institution of Mashari Agricultural Development Institution, MADI, to serve as agricultural college is in its advanced stage, and the first intake of students is expected to start by January 2026. This college serves as an essential center for agricultural training, production. Kavango East region, however, to realize this dream, significant investment is required to address challenges of dilapidating infrastructure, staff shortage, and equipment problems that are catalyzed to effectiveness operation. Similarly, the initiative to register with Namibia Training Authority and apply for accreditation with the Namibia Qualification Authority as a technical vocational education and training center is underway. This center is expected to train many students from the two Kavango regions and other regions in modern agricultural, food production, and other areas. The region has allocated an amount of 751,145 Namibian dollars and 22 cents to horticulture support program with 80 farmers in terms of subsidized input and equipment for horticultural production. These farmers are now making a positive impact on the social lives of many residents. In the area of more stock development and distribution in the communal area, the scheme, which is aimed at providing quality co-breeding flocks of suitable local goats to selected vulnerable farmers to gain a sustainable means of income generation and increased food security. Through this scheme, 420 goats were distributed to all rural constituencies in the region.
Speaking at the end, local activist Franz Moyo welcomed news of Mashare Agricultural Development Institute Monday's relaunch, but urged that enrollment and employment opportunities be prioritized for residents of Kavango East. Moyo pointed out that for years, young people in the region had to travel far for agricultural training. He called for transparent, inclusive, and community-led planning for the college's rollout. Says while it's a national institution, we must not overlook the needs of the people who live right here. It's only fair that learners from Kavango East be prioritized during the first intake. We have qualified agriculturists, engineers, and educators from this region who can contribute meaningfully. Let us use the reopening to empower our people economically and academically. Moyo stressed that communities around Mashare should be included in all stages from planning to implementation and not be treated as bystanders.
With me is Moyo, Franz Moyo, an activist in Rundu, Kavango East region. For now, he's just briefly going to talk to us about what he thinks of the national state address, the regional state address that was today with the governor of Kavango East region. Maybe just to give us a form of what was interesting and what you were expecting to hear, and what did you hear that was very, very interesting to you?
Thank you very much. Looking and having a listen to some of the key points, what I see is that at least we can look into something that is going to produce employment for us. That is in the area of agriculture. Uh-huh. As you know, that is a key point mainly in our region here. In Namibia at large, of course, we should be able to produce food for ourselves. We should produce what we eat. And then, of course, I'm seeing key points as well in development. That is when it comes to rural electrification. And then, of course, most of the surrounding of our inhabitants or the locations within our town of Rundu. And this is not only going to be focused on Rundu alone, but also the rural areas. Quite a big number. It's about 40-something million Namibian dollars that will be spent on such projects. Mm-hmm. And I also acknowledge the admission by the governor that we still have got challenges that we need to look into, mainly some points were, of course, safety. Uh-huh. And the other point was also on employment. I think if I recall very well, those would be some of the points that will be rectified, or at least the central government is looking into solving.
You are one of the youth activists that has been fighting for agricultural college. Now that he has mentioned it, what do you think?
Well, I'm quite impressed. you know, it has been quite a long overdue topic, and at this time now we are talking about it coming to materialize, mm-hmm. rather than it being just a talk. At this moment, I'm happy, because now when you train a young person, be able to provide employment for them, mm-hmm. because now if you just train them, you don't create a field of employment. That means you are sending them to the street, so you are breeding more street educated people. So that would be my opinion on that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now many will always come out to say, when such initiative comes to the region, people that are being taken in or are outsiders, what would you want to say on this one, specifically with the agricultural college?
Very well. It's a thing now. First of all, I will start by encouraging our young people within the region to take this initiative very seriously, whereby so that we don't complain in the end. And then if you have taken note of the current administration, it's not business as usual. Mm-hmm. So for it to be a reality, it's only if we become contributors of this factor. So which I know that if we are to take the initiative first as inhabitants of the region or the town, we are able of looking into to that or solving that issue as well. But then...
Now for a commercial break.
Warm up with Red Hot Deals at WB. Get 750 grams CNB mayo for only $37.99 with SmartBuy. 2 times 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $139.99 with SmartBuy. 5 kg Palana elbows or Mac for just $122.99. And 2.2 kg Surf hand wash powder for only $49.99. See all our July month end specials at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
You save us.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
You know, speaking about The Villager, I hope that you have grabbed your copy or received your copy of free economic and social news right via your mobile app. Now, today's The Villager e-paper covers the following headline. Namdeb rare F element deposits are promising. NDP 6 projections a beacon of hope. Mashare Agricultural College set to open in 2026. Kabango East to strengthen sustainable agriculture livelihood support. Finance world looks to quantum technologies. Tax reforms to stimulate business growth. Human fallibility doesn't disappear with experience or title. Region 5 Youth Games a complete success. LOC. Now stay informed by subscribing to the Eagle Media House WhatsApp channel and receive a tri-weekly dose of economic, social and community news absolutely free of charge. All you have to do is send a text message to 081 0800-200-4144 and never miss a moment. This morning, Kavango West Governor Verna Sinombor held the State of the Region Address. Governor Sinombor's first State of the Region Address reflected a clear priority on inclusive planning, infrastructure improvement, public safety, and environmental consciousness. Her administration is emphasizing community participation and stakeholder collaboration as the bedrock of progress. As Kavango West charts its development path, the effectiveness of planning processes and funding acquisition will determine how quickly residents experience tangible change on the ground. Let's take a listen to Kavango West Governor Verna Sinombor.
Unemployment remains high at 52.8%, with youth unemployment at 58.1%. These realities call for urgent and focused planning interventions which will target job creation, poverty reduction, sustainable economic development for improved standard of living among our inhabitants. 3, agricultural growth and food security, the heart of our economy. Agriculture is our bedrock. Under the Directorate of Agricultural Production, Extension and Engineering Services, we plowed a total of 2,761 hectares across all constituencies, benefiting 1,435 farmers, of 821 female, 614 males. I, however, feel or believe that we can plow more hectares and believe more farmers if we can plan well in advance and avail plowing services early at the beginning of every plowing season. My call is to transform our agricultural sector and make Kavango West a food hub. I believe you also agree with me. Look at what we have in front here, so we can make our region food hub for Namibia. So a total of 1.7 million in subsidies was spent supporting horticulture, poultry, and equipment purchases for 146 farmers, 67 females and 23 males. So 657 farmers, 501 females and 156 males, receiving training in conservation agriculture, climate resilient farming, and good agricultural practices. This was directly linked to our call to promote backyard gardens and fruit tree planting in homes to feed community directly and promote self-sustenance. DAPIS has also commenced with the construction of its regional office and a staff house in Kurenkuru at the combined tune of 9 million. The project commenced in May 2025 and it is to be completed in October 2026. Kavango Cattle Ranch. This is a vast asset under NIDA that remains critical and a key economic project in our region. With around 9,000 cattle, the ranch has revenue potential exceeding 30 million annually. However, poor infrastructure, non-functional water points, staff housing and salary issues must be urgently addressed in order to unlock its economic potential. Electrified fences or fencing, wildlife management and modern infrastructure are necessary to unlock its full value. The region calls for a meaningful economic participation and community beneficiation of the cattle ranch. Hence, the turnaround strategy for NIDA should be implemented in collaboration with Kavango West Regional Council. Green scheme production. Kavango West region is proudly home to two operational green schemes projects, namely Sikondo and Musese, with the zone green scheme in the conception phase. It is a part of Namibia's broader strategy to boost domestic food production, reduce reliance on agricultural import, and promote sustainable employment through agro-industrial development. Secondo Green Scheme is a government-managed irrigation project that has made impressive strides in food production. During the year under review, Secondo produced over 798 tons of maize, 517 tons of wheat, 300 tons of potatoes. As I'm talking now, they are busy harvesting potatoes. This output generated an income of 15.9 million and provided employment to more than 800 workers. Plans are currently underway to establish a livestock feeding center, which will not only help mitigate the impact of drought, but also add value to local livestock. Is that not good news? We will ensure that stakeholders pursue maximum productivity at Secondo and to accelerate the introduction of agro-processing facilities for value addition to locally produced crops. I think one of the famous crops that we produce at Secondo is the watermelon. I think what we want to see is at least to have some watermelon juice from Secondo. That is what we are talking about. Musese Green Scheme is a government-owned project currently managed by a private operator. Musese saw the harvesting of 4,200 tons of maize, generating 28.5 million. A notable success at Musese is its commercial milling plant, which processes maize into maize meal readily available in markets within the region and beyond. These demonstrate the critical value of agro-processing in enhancing food self-sufficiency and local economic growth. We call on Musese to also venture into other crops and vegetable production on top of maize. Zone Green Scheme. It's a government emerging project that is still to be realized. Land is readily available at the size of 2,000 hectares and already allocated to the government by the Okwangali Traditional Authority. So our call is to the Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform to prioritize and expedite the realization of this project. The productivity of these green schemes will be accelerated to enhance national food production for security and to create jobs, especially for the youth, as outlined in the Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan. 4, rural livelihood and horticultural empowerment. Through the Kavango West Regional Council, over 5.5 million was allocated to 8 constituencies to implement various rural development projects, such as small water pipeline construction, poultry farming, brick making, and horticulture production. The Kavango West Regional Council further supported 40 projects with 400 goats in 4 constituencies, namely Mpungu, Kurenkuru, Nununi, and Ngamagoro. Each project received 10 goats. So these projects have directly benefited a total of 146 community members. In March 2025, the region held its 3rd small-scale horticulture producers award at Mavanze Village in Ngununi constituency, with Gombara Youth Garden from Ngununi securing the first place, followed by Great Hill Trading in Pungu constituency as second best. The idea is to motivate more horticulture production in our region. So we really want to see a lot of people starting or doing the horticulture production. Still in the year under review, more than 200 farmers participated in a regional horticulture conference that explored funding access, climate smart agriculture, and commercialization strategies. FAO also funded the successful exposure visit for 22 of our local horticulture producers to Oloshanja in the Omusati region. We still envision to empower our horticulture producers with more knowledge, skills, and tools. So what we are saying is we want to see more of this type of visits still happening for our horticulture producers to go and learn more or get more information on how they can customize product. A pillar of transformation. Kavango West continues to shine as a leader in education, having achieved first place nationally in the 2024 Namibian Senior Secondary Certificate Advanced Subsidiary, NNSCAS, and second place in the Namibia Senior Secondary Certificate Ordinary Level, NNSCO, examinations. So these outstanding results are testament to the dedication of our educators, teachers, and the determination of our learners. Thank you.
And there you had it from Kavango West Governor Verna Sinombo speaking at the State of the Region address this morning. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and make room for the marketplace. When we do return, we shall be bringing you news beyond the borders. Stay with us right here on the Radar Analysis.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapombwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe kike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko, erewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu matatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM, let you express your constitutional right.
On the radar, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Juju.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you? Long time.
I've been well, thank you. You don't want to call in on the radio anymore.
I've been listening to your programs and everywhere I'm with you. Thank you very much. Let me say something about especially Kavango and the Honorable Governor there.
Yeah.
And I think they are busy implementing this vision 2030 through this National Development Plan.
Yeah.
Number 6 now where we are. And we seriously need to strengthen and streamline our activities in terms of food sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy that the VOA leadership and the vision that I'm getting from her is something that needs to be promoted. So if those kind of initiatives, and especially when you talk about climate, smart agriculture, or whatever. So we seriously need to come, because now that we got a good harvest, maybe who knows, the drought and all these things might, you know, strike again. But for now, we need to mobilize our local resources. Not necessarily about money, because he has mentioned about some of those initiatives are really initiatives from the government.
Yes.
Even those who are actually facilitated by the government and managed and run by the private company. Can we please organize ourselves and the challenge of unemployment and all those problems that we are, social problems that you always talk about with your guests. Suicide or marriage problem and confusion. Can we mobilize ourselves as local people there or stations, organize ourselves and go to the government and see where, which type of this, what is it, home, beyond gardening, what this home gardening, whatever you mentioned there.
The Mashara Agricultural Development Institute, is that one?
They say the concept started from the backyard. Gardening. That's what you said. Before you go to Mashallah and all these other things.
Yeah.
So now in the community, the local authority which is availing land, I'm not only talking about Kavango now, but in all the other rural areas, let them avail land, let them now, when the young ones are coming with those smart agricultural projects, proposal.
Irrigation schemes.
Irrigation schemes. And then they are afforded an opportunity. If they can go through the Honorable Governor's Office in terms of funding and all these other things, or even technical expertise, I think they are able to make a positive change. So thank you very much, Juju, for giving me an opportunity.
Okay.
Keep on sustaining us, and I will be listening to what is the global news.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, madam.
You can also come through and air your opinions and contributions right here on the Reader Analysis. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. For now, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We won't be too long. When we do return, we shall be bringing you what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarude dayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatuimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ileko, derewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu matatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
And now we take you to what's making headlines today in terms of economic indicators. And of course, we start off with the Namibian dollar compared to other currencies. Now for today, one US dollar will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 76 cents, while 1 euro will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 82 cents. 1 Australian dollar will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 66 cents. And 1 pound sterling will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 88 cents. 1 Chinese yuan will get you 2 Namibian dollars and 48 cents. Still on economic indicators, so let's look at what crude oil is trading today. Now, WTI crude oil futures climbed above $66 per barrel on Friday, extending gains for a second session as optimism over U.S. trade deals lifted market sentiment. Reports suggest the U.S. and The EU are nearing an agreement that would impose a 15% tariff on most EU goods, following a similar pact with Japan. Now, potential trade agreements with India, Mexico, and Brazil are also on the horizon. Expectations that easing trade tensions could bolster global economic growth helped ease concerns over future oil demand. Now, on the supply side, tightening conditions in the global diesel market added further support. The EU has intensified restrictions on Russian oil imports, pushing diesel prices higher. Meanwhile, Russia temporarily halted oil exportations from its Black Sea port, and the US and EU are reportedly considering additional sanctions targeting Russian energy exports. Brent crude futures strengthened above $69 per barrel on Friday, extending gains for a second session as optimism over U.S. trade deals lifted market sentiment. Now, reports suggest the U.S. and EU are nearing an agreement. Meanwhile, natural gas futures inched above 3.1 MMBTU, halting the sharp decline that bottomed at the lowest in the 3 months amid short covering and soft print for weekly storage amounts. Now, data from EIA showed that 23 BCF were added to storages last week on the lower end of market expectations. U.S. gasoline futures fell to $2.1 per gallon, the lowest since July 1st, as weak seasonal demand and bearish investment sentiment weigh in on the market. Now, despite being in the peak summer driving season, bullish bands on gasoline are at 8-year low, with commodity trading advisors maintaining short positions for much of the summer. The Energy Information Administration projects a decline in gasoline demand this year, contrasting with rising diesel use. Meanwhile, refiners continue to produce gasoline as a byproduct of diesel and jet fuel output, leading to oversupply. Narrow refining margins have also reduced gasoline's appeal relative to other fuels. Unless demand surprises to the upside or supply is disrupted, prices may stay subdued in the fall. Gold prices fell to around $3,360 per ounce on Friday, marking a third consecutive session of losses as concerns over tariffs continue to ease, denting the precious metal's appeal. The Federal Reserve will hold rates steady off its meeting next week, but markets are still pricing in a potential rate cut in September. Meanwhile, silver prices held around $39 per ounce on Friday after losing ground in the previous session, as progress in global trade negotiations dampened demand for safe haven assets. Market sentiments improved after reports that the US and EU are moving closer to a deal, including a proposed 15% baseline tariff on US goods. Wheat futures fell to $5.4 a bushel, pressured by profit taking and projections of strong yields from North Dakota's spring wheat crop. Now, on the first day of a 3-day crop tour, Scoots reported above average yields in the northern part of the state following ample rainfall earlier this summer, though yields still tailored last year's record. Now, the price decline was partially cushioned by the intermarket spread trading, as some traders rotated out of corn and into wheat and feeder cattle. Wheat slide occurred amid broader volatility in grain markets, with participants adjusting positions ahead of key crop reports. Now, despite favorable yield projections, uncertainty around future weather conditions and global demand continues to loom over the market. And that's what we had for you today in terms of economic indicators. Of course, we pause right here, and when we do return, we shall be bringing you what's making headlines in terms of Beyond the Borders.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church event, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And now we take it to news beyond the borders. We're starting off in South Africa, whereby Children's Flight Initiative hosts a first-time flying experience for vulnerable children.
Welcome back. The City of Tshwane, in partnership with the Children's Flight Initiative, are hosting the 2025 edition of this initiative at Vonderbloem National Airport. It will provide over 1,000 underprivileged orphans, children with disabilities, and those facing serious and terminal illnesses
the Ministry
with first-time flying
planning.
Experiences across South Africa. Children's Flight is a transformative platform, we're told, that introduces a world previously out of reach to children from disadvantaged backgrounds.
We are here at the Vonderbloem National Airport in Pretoria, whereby
Uganda
the City
is
of Tshwane, together with the Child Flight Initiate, are hosting an edition of the Child Flight, whereby they'll be hosting over 1,000 children who are underprivileged, and they'll be taken for their flights. But I just want to step out of the shot so that you can see some of the children that are here, who have gathered here. I'll ask my camera person just to show you our background as to what's happening here. And just to get more on this event, I'll be joined by the event organizer, Felix. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. Can you please tell us more about this event?
Thank you so much, ma'am. It's an absolute honor to have you with us today. This event is designed to give underprivileged children unbridled access to aviation at the highest level. We are supported by 150 pilots today, and sponsors from all over the country, amounting to 175. They've come together to give these children the first chance to fly. And these children are between 6 and 13 from registered charities around the area and children's homes, well-known children's homes. And for that reason, we thank the pilots, thank the sponsors. We couldn't do it without you.
How many children are we talking about, just to get the number precise?
Today, 1,000 children are scheduled to fly, and the fleet is 111 strong on aircraft, ranging from rotary wing and fixed wing assets.
Thank you so much for your time. I'll be now joined by the MMC of Roads and Safety, Ms. Tangi Mokhale, who's going to tell us more also about the event coming from the city side. Ma'am, can you please tell us about the collaboration with the Child Flight Initiate?
So this is one of our proudest initiatives that we have gotten into. This is their 10th year anniversary. And as the Vonderbloem Airport, which is one of our strategic assets as the City of Tshwane, we are hosting this event today. So it's one of the precious and memorable you know, events that we feel that these kids will, you know, live to cherish. And also, you know, it's a good step towards them realizing that some of these things, they are within reach for them and they're quite possible. So from the city's of Tshwane's perspective, this is something that we want to adopt to be an annual program, that we don't just come in as partners, but we actually own up to it, because it's a very profound program for these children.
Out of this event, what is it that you're hoping to get?
Obviously, the kids, the smiles on their faces, and the fact that just because they're from, you know, underprivileged backgrounds, it's a strides to motivate them, and that's what primarily that's what we want to achieve, for them to realize that they themselves can actually become pilots. I mean, aviation space is a highly regulated space, it's a restricted space, but in terms of their economic, you know, standing, some of them would never really afford, you know, a flight ticket. So this is an exciting initiative for us, and as a city of Tshwane, we want to see them being motivated. And obviously, in terms of the business, you know, economics, you know, we are able to attract and invest local businesses. As you can see, all the sponsors that are here, these are people that locally do businesses in the city of Tshwane. So it just goes to demonstrate that when we come together, private public partnerships, there's so much more that we can achieve.
Thank you so much. There you have it. Most important is bringing the smiles on children's face. We're going to keep on monitoring the situation around here, and we'll keep on updating the viewers at home.
Southern South Africa Minister Mackenzie intends to curb gangsterism through sports.
To equip. The sports department is on a drive to equip schools with playing material, and Minister Mackenzie, whose past is well documented, wants to use sport as a tool to fight gangsterism.
Gangsterism. Gangsters are very intentional when it comes to recruitment. Very intentional. They have a recruitment like HR. Every gangster is an HR department. Only to recruit youngsters. We were recruited. We talk from experience as people that were recruited. Now, how do you stop that? You don't stop that by preaching. No, don't do this. You come, you bring, you put a tennis racket in a child's hand instead of a gun. You put a hockey stick in his hand instead of a gun. You put a cricket bat in his hand instead of a gun.
Mackenzie doesn't want the youngsters to follow the path he took when he was their age.
Few houses from my mom's house was a boy. He always had a soccer ball. Always. You'll never see him without a soccer ball. When we go and say, let's go steal cars, he says, no, I'm going to train. When we say, let's go and break into the white people's houses, he says, no, I'm going to train. Then I was arrested and I went to jail. One day I'm switching on the TV in jail to watch the World Cup. I couldn't believe it. That boy that stays 3 houses from my mom's house or so was there playing for Bafana Bafana. He used to play for Pirates. His name was Willem Jackson. That's the difference. I took the wrong road. He took the sport road. So I'm saying to you, don't take the Gayton Mackenzie road. Take the Willem Jackson road.
73 public schools benefited as they received, among other things, tennis rackets, balls for basketball, football and volleyball. The department also added indigenous sports equipment for tiketo and murabaraba.
We brought everything here. We've brought basketballs, we've brought soccer balls, we've brought hockey, we've brought tennis, we bought chess. I can go on and on and on and on and on. I'll take the whole news bulletin. But just know that there's nothing that's not here.
The beneficiaries were over the moon.
Feel happy because most of the kids need to play sports, and most of the kids need to get awards so that they must make their parents proud.
We have the opportunity to have a better life with only the sports. I like playing chess, volleyball, basketball, netball, all of them.
I feel happy to get this free equipment because in our school we didn't have enough equipment to...
Zimbabwe hosts a forum to protect wetlands and biodiversity.
Ramsar COP15 marks a pivotal moment for wetlands conservation globally, as the crucial ecosystems come under increasing threat from pollution, encroachment, and climate change.
We are still losing wetlands faster than any other ecosystem. Hence, we must all step up our game.
This is particularly pertinent for Southern African nations, which have recently experienced the most severe droughts in decades.
It was indeed a warning sign to our systems, because we depend on wetlands for water, for food, the biodiversity, and even for our climate. And yet still, these systems have been undervalued, underfunded, and also underrepresented in national planning.
As such, the conference, which runs until July 31st, is an important call to action.
One of the key commitments delegates here are hoping to secure is collaboration on policies, action, and finance.
The next few days will see discussions on action points, including adoption of a 5-year strategic plan, commitments to restoring millions of hectares of degraded wetlands, and acknowledgement that they are critical in climate mitigation because of the carbon they capture.
To neglect wetlands would be to abandon a critical portion of our existence.
The Convention on Wetlands has grown from just 21 signatory nations in 1980 to 172 in 2025. Farai Mwakutuya, CGTN, Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe.
Meanwhile, in Kenya's President Ruto tours Masai Mara and targets 5 million tourists annually by 2027.
Kenyan President William Ruto says the East African country is taking advantage of its diversified tourism products in a bid to target 5 million tourists annually. Speaking at the launch of CMG Africa's coverage of the Great Wildebeest Migration at the Masai Mara National Reserve, President Ruto said his government is investing in expanding infrastructure that will support this projected growth while offering a quality experience to tourists.
How is Kenya diversifying its tourism offerings?
We have a very diversified tourism product in Kenya. From the wildebeest migration here to the wildlife tourism product that we have across Kenya, the Big Five, and many bird watchers, and many other animals and wildlife that you have the opportunity to sample while you are in Kenya, to the culture of the Kenyan people, the warmth, the hospitality, as I have said, of the Maasai people, and the Kenyan people in general, the culture, the customs, the tradition, that blends with the spirit of Kenya. The most important aspect of this land is that people don't visit Kenya. They come back to Kenya because this is the home of humankind. This is also the hub of innovation, where you can travel as you sample products of innovation. This is the home of ICT. This is the home of the M-Pesa revolution. This is the home of our athletics prowess. If you want to run with Olympic champions or world-class champions, you come to Kenya.
How has Kenya's tourism sector performed in recent years? And what strategic priorities is the government implementing to sustain this growth and achieve future targets? Thank you.
Our tourism numbers are going up. As I said, by 15% last year, we moved our numbers from 2 million visitors to 2.4 million visitors. Our targets are 5 million in the medium term. And we believe that is achievable because we are also expanding our other facilities that we are going to use for conference tourism, for sports tourism, As you have seen, we have huge investments in stadia and in sports infrastructure around Kenya, so that the people who want to come for sports tourism, to engage with our world-class sportsmen and women, can find their way to Kenya. We are also expanding our conference facilities. As you are aware, the Bomas of Kenya is now being expanded to a 6,000 capacity seater for conference tourism and for conferences. Again, we are expanding facilities, we are expanding infrastructure, we are expanding our tourism product, and that is why our tourism numbers are increasing.
Meanwhile, the Zambia Revenue Authority says the mining revenue has gone up to 150%.
The Ministry of Finance and National Planning has hosted a town hall meeting on the media budget performance, developments in the economy, and the 2026 to 2028 medium-term budget plan. The meeting also saw a panel discussion with experts from various economic sectors sharing their thoughts on the economic outlook. Key among them is the Zambia Association of Manufacturers, which is projecting a stable environment if the sector is to grow based on the improved economic conditions.
2026 to 2028, we are quite confident that there will be delivery of an environment or continuous stable environment for us to grow. We have demonstrated it, but I think we have been a bit concerned about mid-year changes in tax policy.
The Lusaka Securities Exchange noted to anchor the private sector on security exchange given its increased contribution to the gross domestic product and the economy.
So the biggest issue that we need to be able to look at, if we have to be very innovative in terms of how we fund this particular SME sector, is how do we de-risk, you know, this particular sector for, you know, onward, you know, funding, both from the capital markets point of view and also from using other intermediaries within the financial sector space.
The mining sector wants a partnership with market experts.
Let us formalize. Let us have, let's say, artisanal miners. If they got a project, they got somewhere where they've identified that they can mine, they go to Luce and deposit their contract to say, we've got this license, we have a contract with this person to mine for us.
We collected about 70.2 billion against a target of 67 billion on tax revenue, which was 2.9 billion above. Now, when you drill down into those numbers, you find that the contribution was mainly driven by the mining income tax, where in 2025, the first half of 2025, we collected 7.4 billion. When you compare to 2024, we only collected 2.9 billion. That's a growth of about 150.4%.
Bank of Zambia Deputy Governor Dr. Francis Chipimo was also part of the panel discussion.
We are also looking at how the financial sector itself can support SMEs. There are some things which we have done directly and some indirectly. The direct things which we are looking at is under this drought shock, one of the things we looked at is how do small businesses and other businesses manage to deal with that. So we introduced what we were calling the Resilience and Stability Facility.
During the event, Zanaco handed over a dividend check worth over 134 million kwacha to the Industrial Development Corporation.
So when you see Zanaco declaring a healthy dividend, it is actually a reflection that the economy is performing.
Wilson Mulinda, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
And Uganda's government has unveiled new strategies to boost domestic revenue.
Up efforts to secure its financial future with a new public financial management reform strategy that puts domestic revenue mobilization at the core of its growth agenda. With external aid dwindling, the government aims to formalize the informal sector, strengthen tax systems, and digitize financial processes to ensure every shilling counts towards achieving Vision 2040.
The total cost of this strategy is about $300 million. And out of this, the government commitment is about $126 million, And we've already got commitments from other participating partners. So the World Bank and KfW under the Uganda Strengthening Public Investment and Asset Management for Growth Resilience Program has committed to provide about $97 million.
The strategy will seek all possible avenues to fast-track the provision of services in key sectors. This will be done through fostering enhanced accountability demands with a results-driven focus. The third lesson we have learned is the need to deepen the role of PFM for domestic resource mobilization.
Beyond stronger revenue system, the reforms are reshaping how the government operates, from automating payments and procurement to cutting costs and reducing fraud. Officials say local governments now plan and budget better, while SMEs benefit from faster payments and easier access to tenders through e-procurement. The challenge, however, remains turning these gains into better services on the ground.
It's a sad fact that globally, 16 out of the 20 biggest development partners are reducing their funding assistance across the world. So strengthening PFM systems will be essential to maximise the impact of limited domestic resources and sustain Uganda's development progress. This one does not promise sweeping, dramatic reforms. Many of the low-hanging fruit have already been addressed. And what we see now is a strategy that is mature in outlook, one that focuses on implementation, on embedding reforms into systems.
Officials say the strategy's success hinges on turning bold reforms into real impact, boosting revenue, improving service delivery, and restoring public trust. For Uganda, the message is clear. Sustainable growth starts with stronger financial management. Betinda Gire, NTV Business.
Soaring healthcare costs has pushed Nigerians to traditional medicine.
Ade Abi fractured multiple bones in an April car accident. His doctor in hospital said he needed surgery, but facing a bill of around $1,200 and no guarantee of a full recovery, he decided to look for something more affordable, a traditional bone setter.
I was told in hospital that the surgery alone would cost 1.8 million naira, excluding other treatments, but I spent a fraction of that with the traditional bone setter. Moreover, the hospital gave me just a 50% chance of walking and using my hand again, and now I've recorded significant progress.
Using leaves, sticks, ointments, and prayers, Ikande Idoko says he's treated hundreds of patients from home for 26 years and claims no complications.
Why they do come to me is that as we are born into it, I have passion on human beings. I don't charge much. So, that's number one. Number two, when they come, they're always happy. By the grace of God, I do it as if nothing has happened to their body before. So they always come out perfectly.
With fewer than two orthopedic surgeons per 100,000 people, it can be hard to get an appointment. Yet the irony is that while most cases are in rural areas, most of the surgeons are in urban areas. It means that rural Nigerians turn to bone setters like Idoko out of necessity.
Because of it's a highly equipment-dependent specialty, you have them only in the urban areas. A lot of these things cannot fit into the rural setting. And because the demand, the need is more in terms of the infrastructure, is more in the urban areas. They're actually more in the urban. And the problem why they perceive shortages because most of the fractures and injuries are in the rural areas.
But from infections to amputations, the risks are all too real. Some health experts want to see reforms and some kind of regulation. Maybe allow these traditional bone setters to treat the less serious cases, with the complex ones going to properly trained surgeons.
They should be part of the referral system. There's no way you can discourage Nigerians completely not to go there. So since that cannot happen, so you might go to the next level and see, are there things that you can shift to them? Or are you going to give them incentives to refer so they get some money from that decision so that they won't believe that they are completely losing out?
As healthcare becomes more and more unaffordable, even middle-income families say they're avoiding hospitals. Bone setters are a lifeline, but often a very risky one. Experts want to see some kind of compromise, expanded insurance, and more trained surgeons, while giving these skilled bone setters their own place in the system. Kelechi Emekalam, CGTN Abuja, Nigeria.
A high-level dialogue addresses global supply chain roadblocks.
The theme boosting trade and investment to build resilient industrial and supply chains together. The luncheon was hosted by the Center for China and Globalization on Thursday. It brought together dozens of foreign diplomats, global business leaders, scholars, and representatives from international organizations to discuss various topics featuring global industrial and supply chains.
China is the strongest supply chain country, and then they have a responsibility to help sustain this safety of the global supply chain. So I think this is really the meaning of this conference, to get everybody's idea on how we can work together to avoid the supply chain destabilizing.
From the aftermath of COVID-19 to rising protectionism in some countries, participants share their insights on the growing risks to global supply chains.
All these restrictive policies do not help to flourish the global supply chain. So I think we should try to take away the sensitivities and promote the global supply chains as much as possible.
Despite mounting challenges, a recent report by the China Council for the Promotion of International Trade suggests that global supply chains continue to trend in a positive direction.
Global supply chains are moving toward a more efficient and dynamic direction. This once again shows that economic globalization is the general trend of the times and the common desire of the people around the world.
Organizers and speakers at the event agree that the global supply and industrial chains are facing increasing challenges and that trade and investment cooperation offers an essential and practical solution. Cao Shufeng, CGTN, Beijing.
France to recognize Palestinian state in September.
Israel and the United States have criticized the decision by President Macron of France to recognize a Palestinian state in September. In a post on social media, the U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio strongly rejects Macron's plan to recognize Palestinian statehood and says this reckless decision only serves Hamas propaganda and sets back peace. The Israeli Prime Minister said the move would reward terrorism. But Saudi Arabia hailed President Macron's announcement as historic, and the Palestinian Authority and Hamas have also welcomed it. The latest figures from the MSF suggest that one in four children and pregnant women is now malnourished in Gaza City, with the situation getting worse every day. Well, let's speak now to our Middle East correspondent, Yolande Nel, who's in Jerusalem for us. Yolande, given the announcement by France, what difference does it make to how isolated Israel is, especially given that the US still stands with them on that?
I mean, certainly this will add to the feelings of growing international isolation that Israel has been facing in recent weeks. It is very heavily lobbied against its allies making such a move. The Palestinians, meanwhile, have been calling for such a move to be made for years, and you have already about three-quarters of the member states of the UN that recognize a sovereign Palestinian state on pre-1967 borders, but really, notably, not many countries in Western Europe. So You know, Israel's always rejected this idea, saying it would be a unilateral move. But since those deadly attacks led by Hamas on the 7th of October 2023, the Israeli position has been that to give recognition for a Palestinian state in such circumstances, that, well, that would be a reward for terrorism. And you have really, you know, furious reaction coming out from different Israeli officials, the Israeli Prime Minister's office saying the Palestinians do not seek a state alongside Israel, they seek a state instead of Israel.
And given the data that's coming out of Gaza about the level of malnutrition there, how much does this make a difference to that? Because, of course, ceasefire talks are still going nowhere. So, in a way, is this announcement by France a bit of a red herring when it comes to what the situation is for Palestinian people?
I mean, I think among the international community, there's been a sort of lot of frustration about what's going on the ground, how they could try to set a path back for a long-term resolution of this decades-old Israel-Palestinian conflict and revive the so-called two-state solution, which is the long-time international formula for peace here. There's been a lot of resistance, particularly from the US as well as Israel, to you know, the idea of France and Saudi Arabia hosting a conference where they would try to put this back on the international agenda and encourage countries to make this step of recognizing an independent Palestinian state. For Palestinians, well, they say that, you know, this is a way to overcome a long-time impasse in the talks. But Israel's always said that, you know, it needs direct negotiations between them and the Palestinians to resolve their outstanding issues.
Yolande, thank you. That's our Middle East correspondent, Yolande Nell, there. Well, here in the UK, the Prime Minister said...
And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar Analysis. We do hand over the mic to our colleague in Ondangwa Studios, that is Loisa Shimi. She's bringing you the Onkon Nathinge program. Thereafter, from 16:30, Dwight and Helmut will bring you the Home Run Show. And from 16:00 hours, David Chombe will be bringing you the Business Economic segment. Now, from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. Have yourself a great weekend. And make sure that you do stay tuned into On the Radar. Not on the radar, but into Eagle FM, as we bring you yet social related topics over the weekend. And we'll see you again Monday, same time, same place, from 1300 hours to 1430 right here for another episode of On the Radar Analysis. Goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba is offering. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.